I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and thought I'd die to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. You can reach us through either channel. Well, that's more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, lots more in news and views for our people. There are times when even I have to almost swallow twice with amazement and outrage. Today, CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, interviewed the former Governor General of Canada, Michael Jean. Now, every boy and his dog wants to, these days, weigh into the whole business of racism in Canada. And one of the active, well, I won't say debates, we're not even supposed to discuss this. One of the active issues now is the fact that, or I should say the allegation that Canada is systemically racist. Canada is systemically racist. Anyway, you might, if you're not Canadian, you might wonder, well, who is this Mickey Abelshaw? No, she's a Haitian. She was the Governor General of Canada, and that means that she was appointed by the government. You've got to it's basically appointed by the Queen, but appointed on behalf of the Queen will accept Canada's recommendation. Anyway, she was appointed as Governor General some years ago. So that is the Queen's representative in Canada. Now, she's a Haitian. She went on to become a news reader for the French language CBC. Today, or I should say yesterday, she said that there is systemic racism in Canada. Former Governor General Michael Jean says it's irresponsible for Quebec Premier François Legault to suggest that systemic racism doesn't exist in his province. In an interview on CBC's Power and Politics, Jean said racism against Black and Indigenous people is deeply embedded in some of the country's institutions, and to ignore that fact is an exercise in denial. I want to quote her directly. Jean said she doesn't want this moment of popular support for racial justice to focus on defining a term like systemic racism. She said it's obvious, however, that some sectors of Quebec and Canadian society are dominated by white people, and people of color are often missing from the corridors of power. We have come from a long legacy of hatred that we need to acknowledge, a legacy of hatred that came from the time of colonial conquest based on white supremacy, domination, total dehumanization. The legacy is still there. Racism is still raging on. But the denial becomes part of the problem. How can you address something when you don't acknowledge the situation? Now, I am flabbergasted. Why don't we read that one more time? These are her direct words, not my interpretation of what she said. She said that not to waste time trying to define systemic racism. We come from a long legacy of hatred that we need to acknowledge, a legacy of hatred that came from the time of colonial conquest based on white supremacy, domination, total dehumanization. The legacy is still there. Racism is still raging on. But the denial becomes part of the problem. How can you address something when you don't acknowledge the situation? I find it very irresponsible. I find her one incredibly arrogant negress. Okay, this legacy of racism. Well, what did she say? The legacy is still there of racism. Racism is still raging on. Racism. We shouldn't get bogged down in trying to define what systemic racism is. Well, yeah, if we're supposed to plead guilty to it, you're darn right we want to define what it is. Why should I plead guilty to something describe what it is? But we're guilty anyway. Of course we're guilty. Well, excuse me, no way. No way are we guilty. Would I even think of pleading guilty to something, morally or in a court of law? You're charged with violating Section 147 of the Criminal Code. How do you plead? I don't know. What is it? never mind. Just plead guilty. Would you do that? Well, of course not. She's quite happy to say that racism rages on. Well, let me think about this. How did she come to Canada? Well, her family came to seek refuge from Haiti. Question. Haiti has had a Black government since the late 18th century. blacks have misruled Haiti for over 200 years. It is the armpit of the Caribbean, the economic basket case of the Americas. Okay. Why did her people, when she was a little girl, emigrate from Haiti to this racist, white supremacist country? Tell me. Maybe she can tell us. Or maybe on discovering that it was racist and had emerged out of a history of colonial conquest based on white supremacy, domination, total dehumanization. As she became a young woman, why would she stay? Why would you stay in such a horrible place? Okay, this is racism is still raging on. And what country made this Haitian its governor general? It's actually, that makes her the head of state. Or the queen is the head of state, but she stands in for the queen. A figurehead, mostly. The governor general does have some actual political powers, but essentially it's a figurehead position. But fine. It's a position of honor. She stands in for the queen. Now, what country made this Haitian immigrant its governor general? Why, that's right. This country called Canada, where racism rages on in its institutions, targeting particularly Negro and Aboriginal. Well, the name changes from day to day. Why the Indians, or no, the Aboriginals, or are they First Nations, or are they Indigenous? But anyway, you get the picture. Now, isn't that one strange racist country that makes a foreigner, a Haitian, obviously black, its governor general? One's prone to say bullshit, because that's what it is. But it's not just bullshit. It's not harmless. Like, you know, I think I saw Elvis Presley at the McDonald's drive-in last night. That's harmless. You know, even if I sincerely believe it, nobody's lives are going to be greatly changed, you know, by what I did or didn't see. I think I saw. But these type of accusations do. They are stoking utterly false white guilt. We've got nothing to feel guilty about. Institutional racism. Well, if there was such a thing, how would she ever, as a member of a small minority, become one of the chattering faces on Radio Canada, on the French language CBC? Well, she wouldn't. If racism was raging in this country, how would she, an obviously non-white, foreign-born Negress, become our governor general? Well, it wouldn't happen. Interestingly, her devotion to Canada was somewhat limited. She retained Haitian citizenship. She at one point also had French citizenship. And when she became governor general, excuse me, this was for a while a bit of an issue. It didn't seem quite fitting that the head of state was actually a citizen of several other countries. I believe at one point she did drop her French citizenship. But all that be that, you know, all be that as it may. It's the utter gall and effrontery, and the fact she's not challenged. Oh, boo hoo hoo! She's a victim of racism too. Nonsense. This victim, on no other recommendation than the color of her skin and her genitalia, became governor general. The politician at the time, the one responsible for appointing her, was then Prime Minister Paul Martin.
And when the position of the Governor General was coming up, with the end of the term of the previous Governor General, who was also non-white, who was also a woman, and who was also equally ungrateful for her adopted country, her name was Adrienne Clarkson. The longer they live, the more they bitch and moan. But when Paul Martin, the then Prime Minister, it was suggested to him as a replacement, this woman, her only claim to fame seemed to be that she was a television news reader. Well, which means she could be reasonably glib, I suppose. But I mean, it wasn't an outstanding history of contributions to her country or anything like that. He was absolutely ecstatic. I mean, he was bouncing off the wall. This would be the symbol of the new Canada. Regrettably, that's exactly right. The new Canada, increasingly dominated by third worlders. Or I mean, that's the vision that they want her impose upon us, as it's part of the displacement, replacement, and genocide on the installment plan of the European founding settler people of this country. So, what is necessary, certainly on the part of people like you and me, is to forthrightly challenge this as the malicious, ungrateful nonsense that it is. Michael Jean is not some sort of oppressed person. Blacks are not oppressed. In fact, the reality is the traitor class in our country, the political class, have as their immigration policy the replacement of us, the European founding settler people of this country. That's the policy. Now, whatever else that is not white supremacy. There's no way you can conflate that into white supremacy, and it's something that I think we have to forthrightly, repeatedly, loudly, vigorously challenge, because it is just nonsense. But it's typical of the relentless propaganda in the fake news media today, that's what we keep hearing. I had an interesting piece of paper here. Yes, oh yeah. It was a lucky day on Thursday of last week. A couple of very interesting items. Columbus statues beheaded and vandalized. U.S. protesters target historic monuments. Statues honoring Christopher Columbus were destroyed and disfigured in Boston, Massachusetts, and Richmond last Wednesday. The latest in a wave of attacks on historic monuments by George Floyd protesters. Now, what Christopher Columbus would have to do with George Floyd's protesters, that would not... at first become obvious. But I'll tell you what it's about. It's about hatred of whites. Black Lives Matter, cut to the chase, is anti-white. It's not about Black Lives Mattering, as I mentioned on previous broadcasts. If it were, they would be directing a lot of their attention to, right, fellow blacks. Because the forces killing blacks in the United States and Canada, especially young black males, is police. Nope. Illness. Well, not the prime cause. It's other blacks. Yeah. A young black male stands a greater chance of dying by the gun or the knife of another black male than he does of death by illness or or auto accident, or anything else like that. Yeah, so if Black Lives Matter, and yeah, I agree, Black Lives do matter, shouldn't the energy be directed at blacks by Black Lives Matter? Well, it's not, for the very good reason that it's not really about Black Lives. It's about being anti-white. Well, anyway, the beheading the statues of Columbus. Well, what did Columbus ever do to blacks? Oh, slavery. Well, no, wait a second. African slavery, the importation of Africans to the New World occurred after the death of Christopher Columbus. They don't like Christopher Columbus because he's a white man. And he began to introduce white, I will better put it this way because this is more accurate, reintroduce white colonization to the Americas. Well, in the case of Columbus, the very beginnings of colonization in the Caribbean. Most of the vandalism has been aimed at Confederate memorials in cities across the South, including Richmond, Birmingham, Alabama, Charleston, South Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina. But Columbus, once celebrated for discovering the New World, is reviled for brutalizing the indigenous peoples he found there. On Wednesday at 12:30 a.m., Boston Police Department officers responded to a call about vandalism to the city's Columbus statue. When they went to the statue, they found it had been beheaded. In Virginia, a few dozen people gathered in Richmond's Bird Park to see a bronze statue of Christopher Columbus submerged face down on the edge of the Fountain Lake. I'm not going to say I approve, but I'm not going to say I disapprove either, said Ronald Johnson, 33, who had marched five nights in Richmond over the past 12 days. Johnson was with at least 100 people at the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, which Virginia's governor, Democratic Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, said he plans to put in storage. Of course, this Negro is being a little bit coy. He's not going to say he approves or he disapproves of the vandalization of public property. No, of course he approves. It's you know, there's really two possible positions. I'm for it or I'm against it. Well, I'm not going to say I'm for it, but I'm not going to say I'm against it. Well, yeah, of course he's for it. This is the physical manifestation of the anti-white hatred that is now aflame across America. And ironically, but perhaps not so ironically, fanned by race traitor whites. And that's the sad thing to see in with the Black Lives Matter protests, white people. So filled with guilt and self-hatred, all of it induced by the lying mass media, the lying churchmen, the lying educational institutions. And I think it's useful to come back to the observation that I made in regards to the Haitian Michaëlle Jean and her bitching and moaning about racism in North America, in Canada. Racism rages here. And it should be put to these people forcefully in the words of grim little Greta Thunberg. How dare you? How dare you? Your people came willingly, in the case of Michaëlle Jean, to Canada. You chose racist Canada. Why did you not stay in Haiti? Because it's a failed state and a basket case caused by your own people. Okay, but why not go to, when they arrived in Canada in the early, in the 60s, to newly independent countries in Africa? Hey, black power. Why not go there? Well, I'll tell you why. And she knows darn well why. Because the country she so reviles now gave them a decent standard of living and opportunity. Never mind the nattering about racism. And the same is true of large numbers of Caribbeans and some blacks who've chosen Canada or the United States. And some of these people are in the ranks of the Black Lives Matter people. How dare you? You chose to come to Canada or the United States. These racist countries, white supremacy, systemic racism. Why not stay in Africa, your homelands? Or you rule. Well, why not? Because in many cases, they're failed states. Failed because of the failings of the people. And it may be a little crude, but Donald Trump's absolutely right. These are shithole countries. So let us not, for one moment, let them off with nattering about this, about white supremacy. Well, I don't think, certainly the Canada of today doesn't say whites are supreme. Our government's official policy is to replace us. So it's pretty hard to tag Canada as white supremacist. But never mind about supremacy. I don't think Canada has boasted about we are whites and we are supreme for 100 years. In fact, I don't think we've ever, as a country, really boasted about it. It was just naturally accepted that we were European and that was our culture. And we kind of liked it. Nothing wrong with kind of liking who you are. Well, what about this whole supremacy thing? Well, there's a rule, an ironclad rule in immigration, that you never knowingly leave a good country for a worse country. If you're going to immigrate, if you're going to pull up stakes and make the wrenching changes into your life and leave friends or loved ones behind or any of those things. You're only going to do it if you're going to go to someplace better. I mean, that's axiomatic, obvious. Now, you might be wrong. I mean, you may have made the wrong choice, but in your own mind, you're not going to go to someplace worse. Okay? All right. These people, and we're now talking of non-whites, who chose Canada or the United States. Why did you choose us? Well, because we're better. Better than what you left. All right. End of story. Be quiet. Shut your mouth. You've already made your choice. We didn't say we're supreme or we're better. We didn't say that. You said it. You said it when you chose to come here. And you continue to say by the fact you didn't go home. You didn't say, well, did I make the wrong choice? Well, this is the bad choice. I'll go back home. No. No. You stay. You've said we're superior. I won't emphasize the white supremacy aspect, but I'll just say, as a country, we're superior. So, you've already said that by your actions. Stop contradicting yourselves and yourself and stop running your mouth. Oh, good news out of Germany. Lockdown was excessive for a level of coronavirus threat, an expert says. One of Germany's most prominent virologists has said its lockdown, that was Germany's, was excessive for the coronavirus threat level. Quote, "We went into lockdown too quickly because the prevailing concern was that there might not be enough intensive care beds and there was pressure from the public." Professor Hendrik Streeck said, "We are seeing a lot of asymptomatic cases, infections with no consequences. I still don't believe that at the end of the year we will have more deaths in Germany than in other years." Let's just backtrack that statement again, because there's a hand grenade in those words. "I still don't believe that at the end of the year we will have had more deaths in Germany than in other years." In other words, there are not legions of people dying of this coronavirus. His belief is that the number of deaths in Germany by the end of the year will be roughly what it would be in a normal year. Well, what about all these deaths we're hearing about caused by coronavirus? Well, many of them are not. Some of the people who have coronavirus are indeed compromised, and they may well die of other things. They have other conditions. In many cases, their respiratory system is already compromised. There's repeated reports in institutions in the United States, in hospitals, there is a financial incentive to list the death as coronavirus. Deaths by coronavirus attract more apparently federal funding than ordinary deaths. So there's a financial incentive on the part of hospitals to list the coronavirus. In many nursing homes, and there was a report tonight on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, in many nursing homes, there is the death of elderly people, in some cases, but because of neglect, blamed on coronavirus. Well, here's an interesting case of Black Lives Matter. Okay, I agree. Black Lives Matter. Everybody's life matters. Suspect charged with the murder and kidnapping in the Aluwatoyin Salau case. The name Aluwatoyin Salau doesn't immediately tickle a memory. It's probably because she's not all that famous. Negress from Africa who participated in the Black Lives Matter rallies in Tennessee. Okay, a suspect has been charged in the double homicide of two women reported missing this month in Florida, in Tallahassee. Aaron Glee, 60, junior, was charged with murder and kidnapping, the Tallahassee Police Department said on Tuesday, a day after the department announced that Aluwatoyin, she's called Toyin, Salau, 19, and Victoria Sims, 75, were found dead. During investigation of their disappearance, information led police to Glee's home in southeast Tallahassee on Saturday, where the two women were discovered dead. Incidentally, Aaron Glee Jr. Is black, and he was arrested in connection with the killings of black activist Aluwatoyin Salau. And AARP, as American Association of Retired People, volunteer Victoria Sims. Glee had fled to Orlando on a bus before the police arrived at his home, but he was later arrested, and he's being charged with murder and kidnapping.
He currently is incarcerated in the Orange County Jail and will be extradited to Leon County, according to the Tallahassee Police Department. Glee was also recently arrested twice in unrelated battery cases. Court records show Glee was arrested in Leon County for aggravated battery on May 30th and was released on $2,500 bond on June 1st. He was also accused of battery in connection with a May 28th, like 2 days. Salah was last seen on June 6th. The teen was active in the city's Black Lives Matter protests and against police brutality, calling for justice for black people. There is a picture of her, 19 years old, 5'7", hardly any hair, you know, that sort of nappy look. A team of more than a dozen Tallahassee Police Department investigators were looking for Salau, who did not have a permanent address, including locations she frequented. Well, she was homeless? Anyway, the police seem to have solved that. Now Sim, she's white. Her home had been burglarized and her car missing. The ins and outs of the case are not especially of interest. I only point out that Black Lives Matter, including this this Negress activist, Olu Watoyin Salau, who was found herself frequently in the streets protesting against racism and police. and Black Lives Matter. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. And who killed her? A black man. Apparently, rape, murder, kidnap, robbery. I don't know if she was robbed, but the white woman was. Both killed. Black Lives Matter? Yeah. Well, it wasn't white police that did these people in. It's black criminals. One is frequently tempted to say, this makes me sick. This makes me want to vomit. I'm increasingly having that feeling. Here is a tweet from Wendy's. Our voice would be nothing without black culture. Right now, a lot of people are hurting because of blatant racism against black people. Their voices need to be heard, period. Our voice would be nothing without black culture. Well, who's our? Wendy's? Wendy's would be nothing without black culture, really? Who founded it? A white man who frequents it. Well, mostly white people. So, but our voice would be nothing, really nothing. Right now, a lot of people are hurting because of blatant racism against black people. Their voices need to be heard. Well, this is what I wrote. Wendy's, you made your choice. You prefer and promote another race. They're not my people, and they won't get my money for their burgers. I mean, white should absolutely boycott Wendy's until there's an apology. Or here's another tweet from Wendy's from June 3rd. We're about putting our money where our mouth is, so here's our money and here's our mouth. We are committed to donating $500,000 to support social justice, the youth, and education in the black community, starting with the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and we'll have receipts. Okay, so they're gonna give $500,000 to support social justice and youth and education in the black community. What about the white community? Okay, well, you made your choice. And I think this has got to be put to these race traders, scallywag businesses. Here's another tweet. In the coming days, we'll be using our Twitter account to amplify black voices, because what's the point of this platform if we don't use it for what matters during these during times like these? So, they'll amplify black voices, but not white voices. All right, you chose, and I think it has to be put to them in exactly those terms. You chose to wade into racial matters. You made your choice. You've chosen them. All right, you've chosen them. Well, they're going to have to support you because I won't. And I think it's very important that people, first of all, follow through on that, and secondly, that they do that. It really is important that we not financially support where we can. The enemies of our people. You chose to be a whore. We won't frequent you. I'm always leery, of course, of consumer boycotts, because I think it's easy to say, well, we're going to boycott them. But there has to be, of course, an easy and viable alternative. Well, in most cases, there is an alternative to Wendy's. There is competition. And I think we have to follow through on that and be tough about it. You've proven yourself to be anti-white. You've thrown in with radical blacks, fine. But you won't be getting my business anymore. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to take my musical break right now, and I'm going to play some songs by a man. I really like his music, and especially like this song here. I think it's just a gripping ballad with a real message, and Randy Travis.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. And 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home in 80 acres, the faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he lay his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's a story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. Three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Fathers, not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. This song doesn't mind, neither do me and you. We're doing just fine, no matter what we try. We go round and round, getting no place. It's bringing me pain, 'cause this song doesn't rhyme. This song doesn't rhyme, or I wish it could. I'm losing my faith, and you know that ain't right. To make love work out, this is the last waltz. This song doesn't rhyme. There once was a time when everything rhymed. We felt so doing just fair, no matter what we try. We go round and round, getting no place, and it's bringing me pain, 'cause this song doesn't rhyme.
That's right, Randy Travis. I'll play some more tunes by Randy. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
Operator, please connect me with 1982. I need to that she is one I should have held on to. They say hindsight's 20/20, but I'm nearly going blind from staring at her photograph and wishing she was mine. It's that same old lost love story. It's sad, but it's true. There was a time when she was mine in 1982. Postman, can you sell me a special kind of stamp? From this crazy lonely man back into the wasted years of my living past. I need to tell her now I know how long my love will last. They say hindsight's 20/20, but I'm nearly gone. That same old lost love story. It's sad, but it's true. There was a time when she was mine in 1982. Losing my mind, going back in time.
Yes, it's me.
Better Class of Loser, Randy Travis.
Suppose I called you up tonight and told you that I love you. And suppose I said I want to come back home. And suppose I cried and said I think I've finally learned my lesson. And I'm tired of spending all my time alone. If I told you that I realize you're all I ever wanted. And it's killing me to be so far away. Would you tell me that you love me too? And would we cry together? Or would you simply laugh at me and say, I told you so.
This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me, and I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf that the Maple Leaf